Welcome back to Retail Therapy. My name is Will DeFreeze. Barrett Dudley, how's it going today?
It's going all right. You know, I'm a little disappointed in my life overall that I'm not just out here making 80K a year selling, reselling restaurant reservations.
Yeah.
But I'll get over it. I will fight through. I will find a way to continue. I also read, Laura sent me this thing the other day. Like, this dude's just like, he's just like putting witty shit on dropship candles on Etsy. He's just like making 400K a year, just like putting phrases on candles, selling them on Etsy. Like,
there's a real grinder mentality that people could have out there, where if you're just willing to, like, you know, figure out the dropship model just like hop on trends and stuff like that. But you got to be a real grinder to do that.
He says he works 2 hours a day, though.
That's just not right.
That's the thing.
I don't believe that.
He just comes up with like funny things and he puts them in Canva. He's using somebody else's Canva account. That was a real kick in the nuts, dude.
Yeah.
He's not even paying for Canva. He's using a friend's Canva account.
I get it. What percentage of streaming services are you paying for yourself right now that you're using on a regular basis?
90p.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I borrow HBO Max from my parents because they pay for it through cable.
Okay. That's a great move.
So I borrow that one. I pay for every other one.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't pay for HBO Max. I just recently started paying for Apple TV. I just recently started paying for Netflix, which was a tough one to swallow. They make you pay so much more extra to get 4K. I'm simply not doing that.
Oh, yeah. I'm just not up on like the high tech like that. I don't know what 4K looks like. I've never seen a 4K TV in my entire life.
4K soccer matches hit really different.
Okay.
It's kind of nice.
So are you a YouTube TV-er?
Yeah.
Is that how you, yeah.
Yep.
And so do you have to pay extra to get 4K YouTube TV?
You do.
Yeah.
But luckily for me, we have schemed YouTube TV to the point where we are sharing it with
households.
Sally. Yeah, we're doing the household thing. So we have three households on the account. We all split it, you know, and it's kind of a give or take thing. I don't need Sunday Ticket necessarily, but the other people on the thing want it. So if I want HD soccer matches, I'm probably going to add that feature.
NFL Sunday Ticket split three ways, I'd be in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy decision to make every NFL season. I have a little bit that I do in the group chat where I put up a little resistance just to mess with the guys that are really trying to push it through. And I'm like, no, obviously we're getting Sunday Ticket this year. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. Are you excited for the Detroit Lions to draft another white linebacker tonight?
Here's the thing. Do I watch the Lions every Sunday? Yes, I do. Do I really, really want to pay attention to anything draft related? No, I don't. I'm too deep in other parts of my life at this point to care about NFL drafts.
Yeah, you're a footy guy. That's what you lead with.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a starter pack on the gram this last week that was like it was one for guy that comes in the morning and says, "Did you watch the footy match last night?" I meant to send it to you because it was very.
I was watching.
It was on point.
A YouTube video last night about just casuals in the UK, like the '80s soccer hooligan guys, like. And I was just like, man, I like to believe that maybe recreation is a thing. And maybe I was, maybe I died in a pub fight back in like the 80s and stuff. Maybe I was a Millwall supporter.
Because the hooligans would get mad at the casuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's actually, I like hearing that that exists because I think about like British, you know, footy fans. And I'm like, everybody over there just has to know what's up. Almost like it's kind of like they probably think of Americans like everybody knows what's happening in the NFL, and it's kind of true. That's the way that I envision soccer in the UK is that like everybody knows what's up. But
we were in Edinburgh
for
Celtic versus Rangers, which was in Glasgow, and we were like, well, that's like the biggest match of the year for these teams. Like, why don't we go to a pub and watch it? And like the general consensus among the people we were with was like, it's a little tense in there. And then every single guy that you saw walking down the street was either like a devastated Celtic fan or just a obliterated Rangers fan celebrating, just asking to get their ass kicked.
Have you ever been to Fado Irish pub?
No.
Here in Austin?
I have not. As much as I love Kelly's, I do need to diversify. Shout out Murray's.
About 8 years ago, I joined a buddy to go to Fado for a Conor McGregor fight.
Okay.
Terrible decision. Terrible decision. The amount of testosterone just like oozing out of the room.
Yeah.
I was scared for my life. At one point I was like just at the bar getting a drink, and this dude, he was like, he was like jacked Phil, who's my guy, Phil on Man City.
Foden?
Phil Foden, mm-hmm. Yeah. He was like jacked Phil Foden. I think he was rocking the fade way before the fade was a thing. And he just like walked up behind me at the bar and he just like pressed his body into the back of mine until I like moved out of the way to get a drink. It was like, it was uncomfortable. So when it's flowing hot like that and people are really amped up about a match of some sort that they likely have a nationalistic relationship to. Yeah, 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 it can get tense.
I like watching cage fights. Like, it's kind of an uncharacteristic thing about me. There's something that truly does get me excited when I watch it. Like, it's just hand-to-hand combat. It's a beautiful thing. I've learned that I'm not totally fit to watch these cage matches out in public anymore. Just, there's too much tea running through the bar for me. It's just, it's too hot of a scene. Like, I just don't know what's going to pop off at any moment just with all the guys. And with how all that stuff goes these days, you don't know if like the smallest guy in the room is just going to mess you up.
Right, right.
So I choose to omit myself from those situations now. I don't know. Yeah, showing up to a cage match wearing a Ame Leon Dor crochet shirt with my nipples hanging out. Like, you're just asking to get, like, talked down to.
Yeah, are you ready for the hardest pivot in retail therapy history as we move on from Conor McGregor cage matches to spring style trends?
Hey, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. I think we hop right in.
Just what a beautiful natural segue that was.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. So this came out by the time you're listening to this, this will be 2 to 3 weeks old. I put it on the rundown for last week. We didn't quite have enough time to get to it because it's 11 trends, man. It's 11. It's quote, 11 elite level style moves to make this season, from our friends over at GQ. And we don't have to like go through these, you know, one by one, but I did think that there was some good stuff in here to kind of talk about. I know it's a common request that we get is to like go over some spring trends, maybe talk about what we're feeling, what we might try to be pulling off. And it's officially here. Spring's officially here. I'm not quite into, I think you actually talked about this on a Scary's AMA at one point, but like I hold out as long as possible before I start wearing shorts to the office. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still pants on a day-to-day basis, but like it's 84 today, you know, I got to be looking out for it's almost shorts weather. It's almost time to be busting out the spring trend stuff.
I've reached the point where I need it to be in the 90s in order for me to like wear shorts to the office all day.
Yes.
It still gets cold in the office, even though it's a little warmer outside with this AC going through it. And like, I don't know. I very much enjoy having pants on when I'm sitting at my desk. Like seeing my thighs touching my office chair. There's something wrong about it.
Well, so the first one, we actually talked a little bit about last year, I believe. I think the Times or New Yorker or somebody, you know, had that article called Man Pre Summer. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how that was like a very early bleeding edge trend. It's starting to become a little bit more mainstream, but this first one here is ginormous shorts.
I'm struggling with the implementation of this into my life.
So we talk about often about how trends are like, we'll label something like, this is basically a coastal trend. This is like NY only.
Yeah.
You need to be in a walking city. You need to be in a fashion city to do this type
and like,
of thing.
You have to be in the right demographic almost.
Well, this one is do not try at home if you are like, I'm going to say like sub 6 feet.
Like,
you know how squatty ginormous shorts are going to make me look?
I respect the ginormous shorts movement. I can't get in as somebody who just will not look good in them under any circumstances. Like, it's just, I'm never going to look in the mirror and think like, wow, I'm so glad I have these massive shorts on.
I was just complaining. I had a wish list item, my Lulu, my 5-inch soft jersey shorts that I needed because I saw a photo of myself in the OV Sunday shorts, which were swallowing me. And that's not a ginormous short.
I think I said on the episode, I got my Sunday shorts shortened.
Yeah.
Like I will only wear these if they are 2 inches shorter. And I started wearing them a million times more. But like for someone like me, my legs are about 2 inches shorter than I think the normal legs are for someone my size. And so I have a 30-inch inseam. I struggle to wear anything that's longer than 7 inches when it comes to shorts because it just simply makes my legs look squatty and it makes my legs look shorter than they need to look.
Yeah.
Like, and so the way that I've tried to counterbalance this is by simply not buying shorts that are shaped like chubbies, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that are clinging to your leg. I've tried to find shorts that are a shorter inseam, like six or six and a half, that have a much wider opening. And even that adjustment has been a huge adjustment for me.
And like, I think that's where I'm at this summer too. I was actually thinking, I was just thinking in the car earlier today about my shorts game this summer. And I like what I want is more shorts that fit like the Bodhi shorts pretty much.
So the Bodhi shorts I have a weird relationship with. I bought some using our store credit that we were just wonderfully given from Nordstrom. And they are just a tough match. Like they don't match with everything because of the stitching, but also just because of the way that the shorts fall. They are so bottom heavy and they kind of almost like flare out that you have to match it with something boxy and a little oversized on top.
That
and so
true.
I can't just wear them with everything. I'm trying to find right now here. I'll put this in the rundown for you.
Please do.
Under this, I bought a pair of shorts this spring. It's one of the only things I bought from the ALD spring drop. And they are these striped drawstring shorts from Ame. And they have, let me see, a 5-inch inseam, which actually feels much longer when you put them on because they are a little baggier. But these are kind of like an in-between of being like a really like short that clings to your leg and a short that kind of feels like a little blousier. And it's something I haven't worn them in public yet, just because I think they're kind of a more like hot weather short and not just like I can't wear them on a rainy day like today. But they've kind of they're the in-between that I found between the Bodhi and like the J. Crew shorts that I currently have. They're my everyday wear shorts.
Yeah.
These feel a little more like stepped up in fashion, but not not like so out there that I feel uncomfortable wearing them or like that I'm putting myself out there to the point of getting roasted at a group dinner for showing up in them.
Yeah, this is, I'm trying to see if I can pull up. I have a pair of these from last season's drop, and I'm trying to find one that is appropriate to, this is the best I can find on super short notice. But yeah, I wore these for a little photo shoot.
I did not know, I didn't even realize they had these in the last drop.
Yeah, this was in last year. It's a different stripe, but it's the same like e-waist drawstring short. If I find a better picture, I'll pull it up. But yeah, this is a nice little, you're totally right. It's like the same sort of type of look, little blouse here, not super, super short.
Yeah. Because I have I think 6-inch inseams from J. Crew, and I really do like them. Like if I'm running errands, if I'm doing whatever, they're my go-to shorts that I put on if I'm not doing gym shorts. And like, but sometimes they just, if I'm trying to go out in them, it just doesn't feel right. Yeah. It just feels like they're just a little too sporty and not like, I just don't feel like I look like very differentiated from everybody else in them. It just looks like the same old person. But that's where I stand on the baggy shorts thing. It's just a difficult thing to do.
Next up, Holy Tees. You getting any of these football jerseys that keep releasing?
Here's the thing.
Any lacrosse pennies?
I am all in favor of anyone wearing the football jersey or lacrosse pennies or whatever. I am actually very in favor of this, and I will support it. I'm too old to be doing it myself.
Same.
Like, jerseys are just difficult at this point. If I'm going to wear something with holes in it, it's going to be something crocheted.
Something more crochet, more mesh. Yeah. Totally with you. Broski's out there. If I was still day drinking on a Saturday, you know I'd be in one of these.
100%. I'm probably not wearing anything but a crop jersey if I'm working out every day in my 20s and I'm single.
Anklets. You throwing it back? Are you going to put some sun in your hair and wear a puka shell anklet?
Here's the thing. I'm not opposed to anklets. Like, I didn't even like mentally prepare for the idea of anklets on this episode today. Yeah. I don't like having jewelry on me really at all.
Right.
I could see myself sporting an anklet on a random vacation somewhere.
Like a little string.
Just a little tiny guy. Just a little tiny guy that's like, hey, I don't have anything else to, like, I don't have a nice watch to accessorize with and I don't have a necklace. So I'm just going to toss a little anklet on and make people wonder.
When I saw the anklets pop up here, I'm going to tell you what I did. I started looking for anklets for Laura. That's because that's what this made me. I like body jewelry. Mm-hmm. Like I like this look on women. And so I like that this is coming back for, you know, I don't know if I want to go all the way back to toe rings.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I'm not a big toe. I just don't like feet in general. Big ankle guy.
Probably going to stop at the toe rings, but I like anklets for women. And I hear what you're saying. I think maybe a little vacation vibe, maybe a little cloth one. None of this clunker Not, I'm not putting pearls on my ankle. You know what I mean?
No, I think I'm closer than ever to having a bracelet.
Something a little beachy.
I want something different on my person that needs to be light. When we were in Las Vegas a few weeks ago meeting with some people, we were talking with the social media, someone who runs social media at Fountain Blue, and she had on like a ring that had a small light chain that connected to the bracelet that she had
on. Oh, right. Yep.
And the entire time I was looking at it, like, that's kind of cool.
And you're going to get one?
Yeah. So now I'm getting a matching thing for my wedding ring. I'm really excited.
Yeah. That sounds tight.
Yep.
Man, remember when Travis Kelce awkwardly sang Viva Las Vegas after he won the Super Bowl and Taylor Swift almost died on the field?
Do you think he had to apologize to Taylor Swift after that? Like, hey, babe, I'm really sorry.
My guess is that's the closest they've ever been to breaking up.
But did you see his speech during the parade where he was just completely obliterated?
I don't think I did.
It's probably because Taylor Swift's team was like, get these videos off the internet. We cannot have Travis Kelce sounding like this in public right now while the Eras Tour is still going on.
Well, a year in now, we are coming back to another thing that we've talked about before. How are you feeling on fisherman sandals this year?
I'm not saying my stock is totally down on them in general, but I don't feel the need to buy them any more this year than I did last year. And my need last year was pretty minimal.
Okay.
It's just not for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't need strappy sandals on my feet.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to not get sucked in. I'm having a hard time resisting, but as of right now, I'm trying not to get sucked in.
I don't think it looks bad when I see it in public. Like, I don't judge people for having fisherman sandals on.
I just feel like I'm
cosplaying like Ricky Ricardo or something.
Right,
I just feel like I'm not totally, I don't think I have the vibe of someone who deserves fisherman sandals.
I had such a good run last year with my kind of like spur of the moment impulse espadrille purchase. Yep. I think that's leading me to considering these more as like
I would support you doing this.
What I would enjoy is like a casual shoe that's not a sneaker, that's not a sandal, but it's even breezier than my suede espadrilles.
Can you wear these with pants?
Yeah.
Do you only wear them with pants?
No, you can wear them with shorts too.
Because if you, yeah, I don't know. Do these count against wearing sandals with pants, which is so greatly maligned?
You know, I think like the only thing that I'm still that I think that collectively we're still very anti is flip flops and pants.
Yeah.
And even then, it's like if you're at the beach, like flip it, get the flips, man. Get the flips in the pants. I don't care.
My tolerance for sandals and pants is much higher than other people's.
Yeah.
I'm much more okay with
you're
people
a flops
doing
and
it.
Pants guy.
Well, like growing up so close to the water in a place where it didn't get super, super hot.
Yeah.
A lot of people would just do that because it just made sense. It was like, well, like I don't want to wear like chunky socks and shoes, but at the same time, like I need to wear pants because it's cool out.
It's not on this list, but the return of boat shoes is apparently imminent.
And have you seen the row ones? Please pull up the row boat shoes.
For men or for women?
For men. I think, no, they're for both. They're for both, but they have them for men. I was actually looking at them last night because I saw a meme about them and I started laughing and I was like, man, I cannot imagine spending this much on boat shoes from the row.
That's it.
That's it. Yeah. $1,090.
Mr. Porter has a pair.
Yeah. Porter's got them on sale. I think these actually came out last year.
Okay.
And maybe they're just getting more popular this year with everything, but they're your classic boat shoe. They're just a really dumb, they look like the Jound boat shoe.
I just can't do it. I can't go back to boat shoes. I won't.
I could just solely because my dad like wears them constantly anyway, and he's done it his entire life.
Yeah.
And so it's numbed me to it. Like I don't have the connotations that other people have. I think I could easily, not the black. That's a little waiter. If I was a waiter, I'd probably want those. But I think I have to go either light or dark brown.
I mean, Black Stock and Weber, you know, big popular loafer brand right now. They did a little Sperry collab here,
mm-hmm.
You know, looking a little chonky, looking a little more modern. I just can't do it. I just can't. I can't. I need like I'm finally getting around to some loafer type stuff. The fisherman sandals is a maybe. You know, got the Tyroleans, the Paraboot Michaels. Like it's fine. It's what it is. I just don't think I can ever. I think that this is. You know, it. I can't come back to both.
If I've learned one thing about style when it comes men's style when it comes to living in Texas is that I've never seen a bigger aversion to boat shoes than Texans. Like it's. I understand where it's coming from, but it's like it's such a wall that Texans have up that people in like the Midwest and the Northeast don't have as much. And yeah, I get it. You never see them down here.
All right, Will. How is Western Will transitioning into spring summer? How are you?
I don't know if he's transitioning well.
Yeah.
There's not a lot going on. I think that the only way that I will be transitioning my cowboyness into summertime will really be through my Bodie horse shirt that I also got using a shout out to Nordstrom. Yeah. Like I don't have that much.
Might I suggest a short sleeve pearl snap from one Howler Brothers?
You can very much suggest that. You can very much suggest that. I need some pearl snap in my repertoire.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been close to pulling trig on Howler a few different times in the last couple seasons, and I just have not been doing it. It's probably time for me.
Suckered, puckered shirts, a little bit of return of prep, some seersucker maybe back in the mix.
Seersucker's like everywhere on my TL lately.
Yeah, this was what I think I talked a little bit about this when I came back from Japan last March, but this like technical seersucker, mm-hmm. It was like more of like a grid seersucker, and it was in darker colors, and it was in stuff like kind of like, it was like in a, like a stretch fabric on pairs of shorts or some shirt that looked more technical. GQ is showing us like some slightly more traditional types of seersucker, but also nothing that's just like straight up like blue and white, you know, super prep.
Yeah.
And yeah. So I love the texture of seersucker. I love the little light waffle, the way it raises off the skin. So like I'm always open to this idea.
I saw this photo on Tumblr the other day. I don't know how to link it to you, so I'm just going to hold it up. But it's David Byrne of the Talking Heads in the 80s, just rocking a seersucker suit.
Okay.
And my first reaction was like, there might be a window for some seersucker this year.
Yeah.
Like there might just be a little window.
He looks like he's in Studio 54 though, right there, which is what makes it awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like it's the context of him wearing that in like a dark club that for me, when you show me that picture, well, I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Cause if he was standing like he's on digging a polo field, I'm not sure it would look that cool.
True. True. Yeah. Yeah. The dichotomy.
Yeah. It's the juxtaposition, as a friend of ours would say.
Absolutely. I was scrolling this morning and I got an email from Drake's, and they were putting out their new, they've got two new seersucker suits that they've put out in green, dark green and dark blue. And I mean, before I saw the price, I was like, oh, this could be great for my summer.
But
the price was
tough. Yeah.
The price was a little tougher. But the dark blue seersucker for hot wedding stuff, like you really, your suit at Derby last year really changed my mind about seersucker, because it doesn't look like seersucker when you first see it. Like it's the material, but like it doesn't punch you in the face like the blue and white stripe does.
Right.
And I'm more than ready to hop in and get a summer suit in seersucker that isn't the stripe.
Yeah. Well, when I wore that seersucker suit, I wore them with a pair of lug sole Doc Martens. Mm-hmm. And this year, I don't think that I would do that. I would instead have to get some tiny shoes.
Just little tiny guys.
Little tiny guys.
Little tinies.
Little tiny guys.
These are just little tiny boys.
They're tiny boys.
If you're not sure what we're talking about because you're just listening, we probably talked about the Stofa loafers before.
Yeah.
And like that's probably the best way of looking at it. It's like somewhere between a slipper and a loafer. The most devastating thing to happen to me was actually trying on the Stofa loafers. And they just didn't fit. Didn't fit my foot.
Too much heel slip? Is that what you said?
No. I think the way that my foot is shaped, where it hit on the top of the foot was like a half an inch too low.
Okay,
like I needed it to go up a little bit more because
got it.
It just wasn't, the structure of my foot did not allow for that to be comfortable for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And it killed me because like taking it out of the box, I was like licking my chops.
Yep. And that's it's a very similar shape and silhouette to the Bodie House shoe, which does the same thing. It's almost like a Mary Jane toe box where it like, It almost doesn't cover the top of your foot. It's almost like just covering your toes. And that is it's a steep hill to climb, especially as we are kind of coming out of chonk land, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where everything is big and
feels
bulky.
Dainty.
And yeah, it feels very, very dainty on the foot.
It's like ballet flats. And also I had the issue that if I'm going to wear these without socks, like I got little tiny hairs on the top of my feet. I don't want these things sticking out and like just chilling over the edge.
Yeah. Again, I am particularly partial to anything with a little bit of a sole because I like the extra height that it gives me. And so if I ever venture into these little tiny guys, you know, I'm going to be really displaying just like my full, true, real height. And I don't know if that's the play for me.
I respect that you're talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's about having a dialogue.
Well, it's, you know, I want to be transparent. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Low-key hikers. I think I saw on, You know who was gassing up La Sportiva was the Spreza newsletter several months back.
Yeah,
I saw Clayton talking about these Keen boys right here. These popped up on Essence recently, and I was I took a pair of these. I grabbed a pair of these for one of our models on the Taos Howler photo shoot because I thought I was like. This is perfect fitting for like something that's like very style forward, but it's from Keen. You know, this is a classic heritage outdoor brand that makes stuff that's actually good for hiking. So, stoked to see photographs that come out from that. But yeah, this is kind of like Salomon's, but make it a even more functional and a little bit like funkier, like a little bit crunchier.
Yeah,
you know, even more. Real for climbing or hiking or stuff like that.
So Keen and Only NY did a limited edition.
Yeah, let's pull those bad boys.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. One sec. Let me type in my email. You know what? We are in the clear. We weren't supposed to release. We weren't supposed to show any photos from this until the 26th, but this is coming out later than the 26th.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you want to click the link in the document here, I actually have a ton of different photos that Keen actually sent me with this.
Oh, that's tight.
Let me know if that doesn't work for you since it is just kind of like a random link. They've got a ton of different photos and like I love the idea of these like outdoor companies collabing with just kind of more like street companies and doing stuff like it's just fun. And I think it fits my vibe a lot easier to have something that's like almost fisherman like this.
I think it
fits my vibe a lot more to have it be outdoor adjacent as opposed to leathery like and dressy. Italian luxury.
Yes.
Like it's a lot easier for me to toss these on casually and living in Austin. It's just an easier place to do it. And so, yeah, I have acquired some Keens in the last couple of years that I have just bopped around town in, and they are wildly comfortable. I get why people are going to those companies, just like Sportiva, Salomon, like all these companies first and foremost they make comfortable shoes that you can wear the hell out of, and once they start doing collabs with cool companies, it's even better.
Absolutely, I like the sole on these too. All right, what's next on our list? Sequence.
Yeah. That's going to be a tougher one.
Going to go ahead and pass on that.
That's going to be a tougher one for me.
But here's one that I think we're very bullish on, Will.
Yes.
Now, living in Texas, this is probably more of a fall play than a spring play for us. But GQ is calling it Grandma Cardies. We talked with the dudes at Canoe Club, and we were just calling them like crew neck cardigans, basically.
Yeah.
But it's basically where the buttons come all the way up to the neck, and it's a circular, it's a round neck instead of a classic like dropped V.
I'm extremely in on this.
Cardigan shape. And ever since they showed us those ones that they had from Frozen Works, my eyes have been peeled for pieces like this, and I just haven't found one.
Yeah. The biggest regret in my life is not buying the Frozen Works one that they had on during the episode and buying it.
Yeah.
For me, the cardigans that I own, they make me feel a little schlubby. Like it like the way that they fall in the deep V, it almost feels like they're like sagging off of my body.
Yeah.
I feel like these would feel like more like wearing like a jacket. And it would make me feel just a little more together and less, I don't know, less sloppy.
Yeah.
And I'm very in. Like I'm the same as you. Ever since that episode, I have been wanting to get that exact Frism Works one or one that looks similar to it. And I just haven't found anything yet. But it's once we get closer to fall, that will be my number one sweater attempt at purchasing.
Yes. Hopefully they come back. I bet they will. The last thing on GQ's list here is, Will, I know you've been interested in colored socks now. How about adding some red to the mix? Some papal red.
I have some red socks.
That's in reference to the Pope, if you're unfamiliar with Vatican terms.
Shout out to the Pope.
Yeah.
I do actually have some red socks that I mixed in a lot over the fall and winter of this year.
Okay.
I didn't feel like they were too loud or anything. I thought they were just kind of like a nice little fall pop of color. Yeah.
Red's been trending so hard with the women. I think this is the guy saying we want to wear some red too.
I've recently acquired more brown. Like last episode, we talked about the Abercrombie and Fitch jeans that I've had, and I've been wanting to put more red with them, but it's been a tough play.
Yeah.
The transition from normal colored pants to brown denim is not as seamless as I thought it would be when I started doing it in the first place.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing my best with it. It hasn't been the easiest. Should we talk about something you mentioned earlier in this episode? That you guys were talking about, people in New York just simply now selling restaurant reservations at popular restaurants.
Yeah, I didn't know it had gotten to this level. I had also not seen this tweet that you linked, but this is exactly the, I'm sure that they meant for this to be the pull quote from this article. I think this was in the New Yorker or something like that. But it's basically about, here's, if you think it's been hard to get reservations at like hard to get good reservations at the big restaurants, prime times, Friday, Saturday, et cetera, like here's why. And it's not, it's gotten way worse than just like people restaurant hoarding, like we've talked about in the past.
Oh,
I
mean, yeah.
Some of us have been guilty of that, of just like booking these things 6 to 8 weeks out so that we have some options when the weekend rolls around.
And what I learned from restaurant hoarding is that after making a couple memes about it on Sunday Scaries, I've learned that, like they should, OpenTable loves it.
Right.
It's like, yeah, please use our app more than you need to. Like, fill us up. So I don't think they're making any moves to stop it anytime soon.
No. But like all things, resellers see a market and they love to pop in and ruin everything and make things even worse than they already are. And apparently, according to a quote from this article, there are people that are reselling hard to get reservations. This is mostly like New York based and making $80,000 a year off of it. And I
there are people who could have full-time jobs as project managers somewhere and just do this on the side and have a real good side gig.
I really hate this though. I hate it. And I'm torn because it's like, This is the market that this is an opportunity that they have seized, and there are people out there that will pay for the reservations. And so I guess really I'm mad at the rich people for paying for the reservations.
Yeah, this all angers me as well. What really angers me is the idea of like a 12 person group chat happening and people being like, all right, it's $1,000 to go to this restaurant and buy this reservation. Is everyone down to split this? And like, it's just $100 extra on the meal. Like, let's just do it. Like, that would infuriate me if I was in that group text.
Yeah.
It infuriates me thinking about people like pre-Venmoing each other for a reservation as if it's like, I don't know. It just feels so gross to me.
It is. And, I don't know. It's like, you know, we're all gassed up on The Bear the last couple of years, right? Which makes us really like believe in fine dining, and we watch great episodes like Forks, and we're like, and we see them. They're like the people that have been saving forever. They made the reservation a year out, and they come in and they comp the whole meal because they've been paying attention to their social media. Like, that fills us up with good vibes, and then it's like we just want to. You know, maybe once I'd like to go to Alinea or 11 Madison Park, but now I know that I'm never going to be able to unless I fork over $500 to get a reservation like that. It takes away some of the magic of like of that even normal people can save up and do something special.
Oh, yeah. Like, and even last year when you and I were going to New York for Nordstrom purposes, we were trying to make reservations X amount of weeks out to make sure that we were doing stuff. And I signed up for Resy or Talk or whatever it is that connects with your American Express that gets you early access to stuff. And even that, like, everything sold out at this one restaurant before I could even get to it, because probably a million people signed up with their American Express to get early access, and they all were sitting there refreshing at their job before I could. It's just it's an insane thing to think is like actually going on.
Yeah. I mean, look at these numbers, Will. A Carbone reservation went for $1,000.
I think they should. I think
lunch reservation went for $850 at Maison Close.
That's stupid. That's just dumb. They need to start like, you need to start making in-person reservations. They need to start bringing back in-person reservations for high times. Hey, sorry, we're keeping your information on us. Like, I'm scanning your ID.
Yeah. How about an ID? How about an ID system? You got to have the ID that with the name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No transfers.
It's crazy.
I'm into it.
Like, I don't know.
But of course, the restaurants are like barely hanging on. So any hype that they can get, they're going to take. And like, they just want the tables full. That's all, you know, that's all there is to it. So
I'd rather just go. I mean, I'm fine. I used to hate waiting at restaurants. I'm totally fine waiting at restaurants if it means that I don't have to deal with this kind of stuff. Like, knowing that this is a possible alternative in life makes me so much more willing to wait 2 hours at a place and go get a glass of wine while waiting and hang out. Like, it's just not even close. Well, just this morning, we received an early access email regarding two things that we seem to enjoy on this podcast: Amelie Leondor and golf.
That's right.
Yesterday, they kind of shocked everybody when they put up an Instagram reel that was announcing this. And we couldn't really make too many conclusions based on what we saw in this. And so once I actually got the early access email this morning and I dipped in, I have bad news. I was very let down by what's going on here. I wasn't even just let down. I was kind of appalled in certain situations.
Well, let me ask you this. What would have excited you from an ALD golf capsule?
Okay. So the things that they put out, essentially a jacket, long sleeve polo sweater, some shorts that are kind of this techie material, a hat with a pretty uninspired golf logo from them, and just like polos, pullovers, bucket hats, stuff like that. What actually would have moved the needle for me is if they would have done what they do a really good job of with their sunny stuff, which is just accessories. Hmm. If they had like a bag, or if they had a cool golf towel, or if they had whatever.
Ball marker.
Yeah, like that's, those yeah, kind of yeah, things. Yeah. I think when it comes to a high-end brand, having accessories from that brand is much cooler than having the fashion stuff, and especially when we're in Texas. Living in Texas, you don't want high fashion stuff on the course.
Right.
You're sweating.
Right. Yep.
If I was
yep.
living in Michigan yep. where, you know, I was playing rounds in the middle of summer that are 73 degrees outside, then yeah, I might like want some of this stuff because it might make a little more sense. I'm not going to sweat through it immediately. I'm not going to ruin it. But there's no possible way that I'm going to spend $225 on a tech shirt from an unproven golf brand over a place that is making shirts and makes their living on making shirts for golf.
Yeah.
And so it's just a tough sell. Like the prices, some of the prices on here are a slap in the face. The Chichi Rodriguez style golf hat, it's one of the last
the
two
straw
items.
Hat.
$225 for that is yeah, appalling. It should be absurd. $45. Like, I don't feel like they had anyone that was there that actually pays attention to golf pricing and fashion, or else they would have never priced things like this.
Yeah.
The travel kit, when I saw the travel kit, I was like, oh, I bet that's $85. I looked down, it's $450.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't justify that kind of thing.
Yeah, they've entered into a territory here, which is relatively new for them. The only thing, they've done boating, speedboats. They've done and Woolrich had like a very like hunting vibe
yeah.
to it. But this is the first time that they've gone and there's been the Sunny collections which reference basketball, but those were actually at a much lower price point than a
yeah.
lot of the mainline stuff.
And I've bought a decent amount from that when they first started doing it, and I loved all the stuff I got from it, and it was all very reasonably priced.
But even basketball is a pretty rare hobby, I would say, for mm-hmm. like dudes in their 30s. Like, I know a couple guys that still run fives at the Y or whatever, but yeah. like entering into golf is like, people love golf.
Yeah.
They are really, really, really into it. So to your point, it's like, you are now talking to a guy, like anybody that's playing golf once a week knows their way around golf brands. They know what a golf yeah. polo should cost. They know. So it's like, you really are having to find the right person that is heavily invested in golf, playing a lot in the right climate, and is also this dedicated to like having an ALD logo on their person at all times.
Yeah.
That they want some of this stuff. I thought it was fine. I like the outerwear the best, I think, like the half zip stuff.
Not golfing. Like, I would rather just have that if I lived in a rainy place to toss on yeah. and go run and grab a coffee.
And then to your accessories comment, my favorite thing is the Houndstooth golf club. I just can't pay $60 for it.
The way that I go through golf clubs, I need them all the time. Like, I buy them not in bulk, but I buy four at a time just to make sure that I don't go without one I don't wear through them too quickly.
And otherwise it's like, you know, I think what I expected was maybe something a little bit more subversive. This is very traditional golf.
Yeah.
This looks like what I'm getting from like Polo's golf line, Bonobos's golf line, like there's a lot of vintage Greg Norman references, which I'm sure I can find a plethora of on eBay. And people say that about ALD kind of at large, right? That a lot of it is just like, just go on eBay and find the inspiration pieces. But here, when it comes to something that you are playing in, sweating in, getting dirty, washing constantly, again, like, yeah, this is all kind of a tough sell at the price points. And I would rather, I'd just rather go to other places for it.
Yeah, it's kind of a miss. There's pretty much like one person in my life who actively looks at ALD all the time and plays more golf than me. And when I asked him about it, he said, I think I'm going to keep my Ame Leon Dor purchases and my golf purchases separate. He's
yeah.
like, I think yeah. it's separate now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even looking at like, yeah, like even the shorts that they have on there, which would be something that might move the needle for me because golf shorts are hard to come by. Like, I'm not going to wear something like this. It's just not like.
Well, so this was another piece. This was probably the first thing that I clicked into is these elastic shorts. I love these. I don't know what's golf about them.
No.
It's a nylon elastic waist short.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing. I just think the logo is a huge miss. I just don't think it moves the needle for actual, like, people that take golf seriously. I think it's a tough sell.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think everything's going to be available tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, except for the polo, which seems to have sold out.
Yeah. I mean, a polo makes sense. Like, if you're going to buy anything from this collection, the polo is probably the thing to buy.
Yeah. And I think this speaks to the popularity of stuff like Masters polos right now. You know, it's easy to wear. It's kind of a status symbol. And that's my only explanation for why this is the piece that maybe moved quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I had high hopes, but I also didn't think that I never truly thought of myself buying like more than one or two pieces from an actual golf collection. I did think that if they had good accessories, I might go a little wild on it, but that's where they could have made a ton of money, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it just didn't happen. Tried a little drink of the summer this past weekend.
Yeah. I saw this on the gram. It's not that early. It's almost May.
I put it up on the story. Campari Ting. You know, everyone knows I love Campari.
I also love Tings.
I love Tings. I never had a Ting before. And I was very happy that I decided to try this. The article that I'm seeing that I have linked here, is just says, what's more crushable than a Campari Ting? And I thought, you know, I'm probably going to click into this. Campari spritzes have been a staple in our family since going to Italy a couple years ago. I love a Campari soda. I just love the ABV bitter taste of it. It's just a nice thing. We're a Campari family. So when I saw something pop up with this, I thought, well, I have to go try it. That afternoon I went to Central Market. I went to their drink section that is not their normal drink section and saw that they had a ton of Ting. I was like, all right, let's do this. Ting to me is essentially just tastes like squirt. I think if you're in a pinch, I think a squirt could actually work in this scenario.
Okay, all right. What about a Fresca?
I think a Fresca could work as well. Yeah. I got my highball glass out. I put a bunch of ice in it. Put maybe a little too much Campari in on the first pour, and then I filled it with Ting. Took one sip and thought, okay, it's not a 50-50 thing.
This is much more
of a sugary cocktail with
more Ting.
Ting in it. And so I filled it up more with Ting, and I have to say, when I got done with one of them, I thought I could easily do another one. I'm not doing three of these, but for ease of use, 10 out of 10. I mean, mixing two things over ice is probably the easiest thing you can do.
Yeah.
Knowing that it's not like some crazy cocktail that's going to sneak up on you is a very nice feeling. The only bad feeling about the Campari Ting for me was just, I think, the sugar level. Like, you're just drinking more sugar in this than I think you normally would.
Do you think that you could do this as like a Campari soda with a splash of grapefruit juice or something, or a splash of Ting?
Yes. I think that in order to do that, though, you need to supplement with some citrus. So maybe either just have some
like a lime.
Maybe even a grapefruit, like an actual grapefruit. Like, you would have to have something. Otherwise, the bitterness from the Campari is just way too overwhelming.
I want to try one of these. I think one is probably super delicious and refreshing.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big soda guy because that's because it's too sugary. I also don't love Campari. Like, I like it as a little bitter undertone in a Negroni or a drink that I don't know how to say, Boulevardier. Boulevardier, you know the one.
Don't look at me.
It's basically a Negroni, but with bourbon or rye instead of gin. But yeah, so it's definitely more of like an accent flavor for me than like the main flavor.
I get it.
So yeah, I don't know. I'd like to find a way to kind of do this low ABV Campari Ting, but maybe dial back the sugar and the sweetness a little bit.
Well, this isn't going to help you, but people did reach out and say that it's a very popular drink in, I think, Jamaica and also some other islands in the Caribbean, vodka Ting. So people are just mixing it with vodka.
Okay.
Like, yeah, apparently it's a very Ting common, it's a very common daytime, hot weather, hey, need something to cool down with drink. Like, this is not for ordering rounds of it, group dinners and continually crushing them. Like, this is a wake up, maybe feeling a little dusty, get dressed and have some lunch and then sit on the porch all afternoon sipping a little Campari Ting.
And we've come full circle back to when the very first mixed drink that you ever made yourself was a vodka Sprite.
I never did vodka Sprite. Oh, I don't even want to think about the first mixed drinks I ever did.
But, absolute Pepar and something, because that was the only thing that was in your parents' liquor cabinet.
No, I think we talked about this on Circling Back recently. My parents kept a very stocked liquor cabinet and they never got rid of like old things. So I could just go to the back of the cabinet and pour up whatever from a bottle from 1992 and never got in trouble. It's a beautiful thing. Should we do some articles of interest before we get out of here today?
Yeah. Yeah, we should.
I don't think we talked about it last week because I think this was more recent.
It hadn't happened yet. It hadn't happened yet.
Bodie checkout.
Yeah.
What the hell?
It was a mess. And I had expectations that were higher than what happened.
Yes, you did.
But I was not surprised because I did not expect that Bodie, a website with a brand that has a lot of goodwill and a level of hype, but does not necessarily sell out things in like hyped up drops the way that Supreme or ALD does.
Yeah.
I did not think that they were going to be like have any level of bot protection or anything like that. So what I was counting on is that people just weren't like super in tune with these shoes. That was wrong. I'm sure you saw videos of the line outside of Bodie for the Friday drop. Apparently people had started camping 4 p.m. on Thursday after the online drop was such a fiasco.
Yeah.
Now the good news is that
was it a bigger line than Record Store Day in Austin, Texas?
It looked about like that, honestly.
Absolutely.
Like blocks long. Yeah. I've been tracking these on StockX and the resale price of them has slowly been coming down day by day. It's dropping and dropping and
remind
dropping.
Remind me,
dropping.
Retail 120?
Retail was 160.
Okay. And what are they selling for on StockX right now?
The lowest ask. So like they're, you know, you got highest bid, lowest ask. Lowest ask is coming in at like 280
okay.
right now.
Okay.
And highest bid seems to be in like the 260, 270 range.
Okay.
And now is when it's the age old question. It's when you look the tiger in the face and you got to make a decision because people are gearing up for these shoes to drop on the sneakers app this coming Wednesday, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be enough supply in that drop to send the price even lower, or will those prices go right back up after everybody takes an L on
I think if you really want them, you buy them now.
I think that is probably the move. I think the safe play is to get them before the sneakers drop as these resale prices are creeping down right now. Because there's always an initial, there's that people are rage copping.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody's taking L's again on the sneakers drop.
Yep.
And those prices will go right back up. So
yeah, I don't think the first experience is going to help prices at all.
Yeah. But yeah, real shit show. Nobody could add anything to cart. The clothes were all gone in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, the clothes flew.
So it was just... It was disappointing.
I'm good. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess I think I got a decent answer enough. Why spend so much money and so much time on the campaign? New York Times, massive billboards, all this. Bodie Recreation, Bodie times Nike. She's doing interviews here, interviews there. It's like this whole launch and rollout. And then they have like seven pieces.
Yeah.
What is the point?
For this, it doesn't even feel like I don't even feel like it's a scarcity play. I don't want these because it's a scarcity play.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them because it's like a hyped thing. If anything, I think it was kind of a lukewarm reception when it first began.
That's what it seemed like. Yeah. It's just the restaurant reservations, I guess. It's just an opportunity for people to make money again. But I don't know. It was disappointing because it seemed like they were giving so much time and energy and money to the campaign for a company that doesn't really do that.
Yeah.
Or hasn't previously.
Nike has the means to not have it go like that.
To just have like a few of everything just didn't make much sense to me.
Yeah,
it's like
weird.
If nobody's out there wearing it, then what was the point?
Just
exposure, I guess. I don't know.
Fair questions.
So
got another drop. This one moved the needle for me a little bit. Beams, Ralph Lauren.
Two brands I love. You're speaking my language.
It's just classic. Like, it looks like something you'd see on a mood board somewhere.
Yeah.
The bear goes hard every time. He's so tough. He smokes too different. They'll kill you. They'll kill you, Ralph Lauren Bear. I don't know. I like it when collaborations happen that just feel like, hey, we just want to do the nostalgic thing. Is that okay with you? And they're like, yeah, let's do the nostalgic thing.
Well, this is the first time I'm looking at this, and I don't know. I don't know if this is doing anything for
me. You want to know what's doing something for me? If you zoom in right here on this shirt that you're on right here, you know your boy has been loving himself some oversized embroidery on a shirt lately.
That's true. That's true.
They did this, that's something I like.
Yeah, they're out on Front Street with it.
Yeah. Like, I can see Dawson wearing this on Dawson's Creek one day.
That's fair.
And I'm not trying to buy the whole collection or anything, but I would absolutely wear the pair of shorts or honestly the tote. Just all of it. Like, it's kind of perfectly preppy.
You're right. I mean, this is, and you already said the word. It's very nostalgic. It's very vintage feeling. It's that's a nice feel.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I've been championing the return of polo for a while.
You have. So you've been leading the charge, and you've been affecting me.
I'm here for it.
Barrett, my final question from Articles of Interest is just simply from a tweet, but what does the butter shelf in your fridge look like these days?
Well, let me pull up this tweet. Okay. I want to prepare my answer for minimal shame, so I need to know what I'm going up against.
Okay.
But
it's tough out there.
Oh, my God. All right. So everybody's got the little butter, the shield.
Is there not a better way to store butter than the shield?
Everybody's got the little drop down shield.
We don't need the NFL shield over the eyes. Like it never works that well.
In my shield is a glass butter dish where one stick of butter and however much it's been used stays.
Okay.
Also within that shield is where I keep the little cups of crushed red pepper and Parmesan that I get from Home Slice Pizza.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Do you consolidate the cups when you get more?
I do.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I do.
It's a good idea.
And then the rest...
Do you do what Nicole McLaughlin does? And she has a... do you know who I'm talking about?
I do, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure I've seen what she does.
I think she posted a video of her refrigerator, and being who she is, this is her thing.
It's very compartmentalized.
She had essentially like a trading card book of her sauces from different restaurants that she stored them in. Like it's very Nicole McLaughlin.
The balance of my butter, the backup butter, it goes into one of the drawers. It goes into the cheese and dairy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Very responsible of you.
So I don't, the backup butter, as it were, it's not within the shield.
No, mine looks like this. It looks like yours shit. Too much butter, like random sticks that have been half used, even though we have brand new butter. And
do you maintain both salted and unsalted at all times?
No, I don't. I usually go unsalted.
I just go unsalted.
Yeah. Do you do table butter?
No, but I appreciate table butter.
Randy?
No, mine does not look like this at all. We have like maybe a stick and a half of butter.
We've become a table butter family over the last year or so, and I'm not looking back anytime soon. Sally's been buying the nice stuff with like the flaky sea salt in it.
If our kitchen was nicer, I'd have table butter, but our kitchen is a piece of shit. So, everything needs to be put away and stowed as nicely as possible.
You know, I love our new place, but I was in our kitchen the other day and I kind of bumped into Sally when we were both trying to do stuff. And I was just like, you know what? I would love a bigger fucking kitchen. Like if there's ever a time that I want to live in the Mr. and Mrs. Smith brownstone, it's right now.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow that we'll never have anything remotely close. Should we do some wish list items?
Yes, I'm going to let you start while I chase down my link.
Okay, I'm loaded up this week because last week I offered a big bag of nothing in no particular order. I'm going to lead off with the Predator Mundial 2024 sneakers. These things are just a throwback to my high school days, and I think I just need them.
Yeah.
Like, these aren't that hard to get right now. They're $120.
These are sick. I have not seen these, Will.
I think they were released in the UK first, and I just need to do it. Like, I've missed out on some other Predator indoor soccer shoes before, and it's just been killing me. I feel a little emboldened now that I've finally replaced my other sneakers, my old sneakers, with some new ones, and now I just want to replace them all.
These, like, almost have a skate shoe vibe to
That's
them.
Why I want them.
They look a little thick.
These will replace my Adidas fucking awesome collabs with the orange laces and the camo. This is what would be replacing those. Those shoes, I will say, I there's a part of me that really does want to repurchase a pair of the Adidas fucking awesome shoes that I have because they've been so comfortable, so durable. They've just been great shoes, but these might get the nod first or at least see how they fit.
This is nice. This is sick.
I like them.
Continue. What else we got?
Every other Thursday. They just did a drop today, which is now 4 days old ever since you guys heard this. I think it's going to be Hat Boy Summer for me. I don't usually wear hats, but I got the longer hair going right now. I can't always have it.
A little lettuce coming out of hats is always nice.
And so I think I'm going to go this direction. Our friend James, good friend of the pod, has one. I love that they have a blue and yellow colorway for when Michigan football's back in season. It's always good to have some game day apparel that's not true game day apparel.
Can't get here soon enough.
Yep. And then the final thing that I have is more of a home item. I've been doing a lot of yard stuff lately, and sometimes I just want to pop a chair out and sit down in the yard. And so I'm putting a very retail therapy item on here. It's an overpriced yard chair for $300 in classic oak.
Were these just everywhere at Augusta? Because this looks like it came from Augusta.
See, probably my biggest regret from Augusta is not buying a chair and sending it back. A lot of people were doing that, and I don't know why I didn't do it. I don't have a good reason. I don't think I thought it through, like, oh, I don't need a chair. I don't want to sit down on the course today. I want to walk around all day. But no, Will, you want a folding chair when you get home, and you can only get it at the Masters. Maybe I'm just making up for lost time. I'm probably not going to get this one, but I do want to get kind of like a wood foldy one that's not like just your – I don't want to get like one that you'd get at the dollar store, but I also don't want to spend $1 million on a bunch of outdoor furniture, which can get very pricey very quickly. I just want something I can – toss out and tear down and not have in the yard at all times.
I feel you.
Yeah. Yep. Those are my wish list items for the week.
Okay. So I'm throwing a pair of shoes on today. The latest strikeouts on the sneaker front with the Jambas and then the Bodhi sneakers just had me, it had me in my bag looking at other sneakers to get. And I'll actually, in the rundown, I'll post a what was an imminent cop and now has been a pair of shoes that I've gotten several days of enjoyment out already. You'll remember that I originally pitched you on the like a pair of Sandstrata Sambas that looked a lot like the Jambas.
Yeah.
They didn't scratch the itch. They didn't do it for me. So I swapped those out for a different Adidas, an Adidas Spezial Wensley. Okay. That has like a little cool toe box and a nice tan color. I'll put a link in those for the digest. But what's going on the wish list as a potential summer cop is a new pair of Vans.
Okay.
And sign me up. And you'll recognize the silhouette. I think it's a type that you've had before. It's on authentic or a Vans era.
Mm-hmm.
Choose your title because they always look the same to me. This pair is in navy blue with kind of like a painted sole that looks like it's fading too.
Yeah.
And I just thought that these were like a really cool, like washed out salty look that would go well as I return to my linen pants games and maybe a blousier pair of shorts. And,
this is my favorite silhouette too.
You know,
I don't like them when they have I don't mind the padding, but for me, I don't like having the padding on my own personal shoes. I don't need a big pad. Like that's for skateboarding. Like I don't need the pad around the heel. It's not necessary. This is the perfect kick around shoe.
My go-to Vans the last couple of summers have been the Vans Epoch. But this slots in nicely as we make our way back to the Tiny Boys.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. When you go with the when you have the padding around the ankle, it takes it away from Dainty Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's less dainty.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just doesn't.
And right now, that's the thing. You just want your feet just looking dainty.
Yeah. You want them to look as tiny as seemingly possible.
Like women like it when they look down at your feet and they just mm-hmm. are looking super dainty.
You want the dudes at the UFC fights at the bars? You want them to think that they can just push you
just
over?
Put, yeah. No center of gravity.
Yeah, just done. Yeah. Done. That's all she wrote this week. We will be back next week. And I don't have anything else for you, Barrett. It's been an action-packed episode for spring.
Well, let's roll.
All right.